If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From LinkedIn News, I'm Jesse Hempel, host of the Hello Monday podcast. In my 20s, I knew what career success looked like. In midlife, it's not that simple. Work is changing, we are changing, and there's no guidebook for how to make sense of it. Start your week with the Hello Monday podcast. Listen to Hello Monday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday on Fox Sports Radio at noon to 3 Eastern, 9 a.m. to noon Pacific. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Fox Sports Radio or FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
All right, here we go. It's a Monday. It's hour two. We're live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd. So great to have Dan Hurley on of UConn. It's in Los Angeles, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Thanks for making us part of your day. So Jordan Schultz, Bleacher Report, in for J-Mac this week, who's off having fun in the surf. First hour, impressions. You did okay, I thought. We a lot of thumbs up in the studio. Love having you here. Flies right by, doesn't it?
It does. I cannot believe that was 1 hour. Dan Hurley, man, that guy is unreal. Class.
It really is.
Class.
And it's, I think as college basketball now, we've seen G League Ignite go away a little bit. I do hope, I've never understood the NBA sort of minimizing and marginalizing college basketball. I nothing against the G League or overseas, but I think there's real value being hard coached by Dan Hurley or Bill Self. Or Mark Few or Calipari. It's like, you know, I those guys know what they're doing.
And how about him saying that if Zach Edey can't play in the NBA, there's something wrong with the NBA? I agree.
The kid at NC State Burns, yeah. People say could play in the NFL. There's something there to that game when you score that effortlessly. So we do it every Monday. It's called Where Colin Was Right, Where Colin Was Wrong. Over the past week, there's plenty of both, and here we go.
Where Colin Was Right?
I've said for the first time, probably in about a year or two, that I really liked this Laker team. They've won now 7 of 10. They have great length. They match up with Denver. Don't beat them, but they match up well, and not everybody in this league does. D'Lo has been great since December when he got benched. Jared Vanderbilt's coming back. And I think they've beaten good teams. They've beaten the Clippers and OKC and Minnesota and the Celtics and the Bucks. Some of those games on the road. So I've been critical of the Lakers, but what I see now is a team where Austin Reeves can be the fourth scorer, not the second or the third. And I think when you put Austin in that space, this is a team that could play for a championship.
Where Colin was wrong.
I really like the Jets' moves this offseason. Redick, a couple of tackles, getting older players, Mike Williams, who are at the end of it, but they don't feel like you're getting guys that are just Aaron Rodgers' buddies. They're productive, older players who have won a lot of games. But Diana Russini says, don't kid yourself. Aaron's getting a heads up on all this.
Aaron Rodgers hasn't lost any power at all. He 100% is involved in everything the New York Jets has done. Because here's the problem, Colin. You can't give the keys over to him when he joins the Jets and then go, oh, wait, you know, you tore your Achilles and recommended some really crappy players to us that we signed for you, so now we're going to take them back.
Aaron still has the power.
Where Colin was right?
I said Bill Belichick feels very old school. wants the power with personnel, can be a bit grumpy. Everybody has to sacrifice. Well, he's got no market. The story is Bill's planning to write a book. TV, no offers. Head coach, no offers. Running a franchise like Bill Parcells later did in Miami, no offers. Listen, this league is pivoted. If you're a defensive coach like D'Amico Ryans, you got to have a feel for offense. Raheem Morris in Atlanta, Sean McVay's buddy, you got to have a feel for offense. I think Belichick's an all-time great, but I kept saying is, be very careful. I've seen it happen a million times where an old successful coach digs his feet in, kind of it's embedded on his way of doing things, and those offers dry up quickly. Not for long. You got to win in the league. You got to adapt. Andy Reid has. Bill doesn't feel like he has.
Where Colin was wrong.
I didn't think Jerry Jones would ever finally say, I'm going to let Dak Prescott, one of my stars, play through his contract. Not going to negotiate early, but that's exactly what Jerry did at the NFL meetings, and that's what he should do. Dak is a very good quarterback, but when you get blitzed at home by Jordan Love, when you are sub 500 against winning teams in your career and have really beaten up on bad Giants and Commander teams and bad NFC teams, you shouldn't start negotiations at $58 million. Patience in negotiating, regardless of your the employee or the employer, matters. And Jerry's patient approach is the right approach, but I didn't think we'd see it with Dak.
Where Colin was right.
The Warriors, Tim Kawakami, respected journalist in the Bay Area, said the Warriors need Draymond Green. That's why they accept the chaos. They've won four straight. By the way, 8 of 9 yesterday, 21 points, 11 assists, 6 steals. I've said this about him. He's not only a great defensive player, he makes them practice hard. He holds teammates and coaches accountable, and he is much more than people understand, an offensive catalyst. Steve Kerr even said yesterday, like, how great was he? When Draymond plays well, they win. When Steph shoots well, they don't always win. When Draymond is on his game, this team beats virtually everybody not named Denver.
Where Colin was wrong.
I think Minnesota is an up-and-coming team, but DraftKings Sportsbook over-unders had them at 6.5. And I'm like, I love their offense. I love their coach. I like Sam Darnold. 6.5? That's like Carolina, New England, New York Giant territory. So I am much higher on the Minnesota Vikings than everybody else. Now, some of it could be the division, which I think Green Bay and Detroit front offices have built like 5-6 year star power rosters, but I like Minnesota much more than DraftKings.
Where Colin was right.
But the Bears are 8.5 over under, and I think that's a signal that Caleb Williams is going to work. So think about this. Justin Fields won 10 games in 3 years. They think Caleb Williams could win 9 games next year. Now, some of that is the offensive weapons, but none of those players, Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, they're not worth a point a game. This is the NFL. What they're telling you is even in a division with talented Green Bay and Detroit, as the NFC gets better, they think Caleb Williams is going to be battling for a playoff. And this is what I've been saying for a year. Caleb Williams and Justin Fields are not the same. Caleb Williams is one of the best prospects in a decade. Justin Fields was a 50-50 deal when he walked into this league based on his coach and where he landed.
Where Colin was right.
Everybody says Donovan Mitchell. I say Trae Young is going to end up in Los Angeles. And there are Laker rumors now. Joe Van Buha of The Athletic saying, keep your eye on Trae Young. And the reason I think he works for the Lakers, first of all, shooters are always great with LeBron. Secondly, he's got star power. And AD in his prime or late prime, Trae Young in his prime, and an older LeBron feels like a championship team to me. Los Angeles has always attracted bona fide stars. I think Donovan Mitchell's an excellent player. I think Trae Young has star power, and that's why I think his game would come to Los Angeles with LeBron, get a little cleaned up, not as quite as loose, and I think he'd be a big hit in Los Angeles. Where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong, you know I like Trae Young. Albert Breer is now joining us live. All right, NFL, the owners, GMs, coaches go down to Florida. people talk about a lot of stuff. A couple of things that jumped out to me is, and I've said this about San Francisco, Albert, I think they've hit a peak. Now we're talking about paying Purdy. Now Brandon Ayuk wants the big money. Well, they pay Kittle and Trent Williams and McCaffrey and Debo and Fred Warner.
And, Warner.
Yeah, it's like, guys.
And Bosa.
Trees don't grow to the sky. So the Brandon Ayuk thing, we both agree he's great. But I look at it and think, okay, here we have another great wide receiver draft. Is there a possibility that they're going to be, if they pay Purdy, they run out of space here and that he gets moved?
I mean, I think they'll get calls, and that's the way these things usually start. You know, I think if you're smart, you won't actively shop your player around first, but you start to get phone calls and you'll listen. And remember, this is the same front office that traded away DeForest Buckner coming out of a Super Bowl 4 years ago. And the reason why they did it was similar to this, where they had some cap issues and there were a bunch of big contracts that they were trying to sort through. The other thing was that it was a position that they had a surplus at. They had Nick Bosa there. They had Eric Armstead there. And so while they loved DeForest Buckner, they knew it was going to be tough to re-sign him, and they knew his value was huge on the trade market. So they were able to go and get a first-round pick for him. I don't think they were a whole lot worse for the wear, as great a player as Buckner is and has continued to be in Indianapolis. And I sort of view this similar. It's tough to take Fred Warner out of the mix as a middle linebacker. It's tough to take Nick Bosa out of the mix as the star pass rusher. It'd be tough to take Javarius Ward out of the mix, to take George Kittle out of the mix, to take Christian McCaffrey. But you do have a little bit of a surplus at receiver in Debo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk both being there. On top of that, what position has Kyle Shanahan historically been incredible at evaluating and developing? Which position did he actually play in college? It's receiver, right? So to me, you add all of that up, and it makes all the sense in the world that they would at least listen to trade offers on Brandon Ayuk. The one thing that's going to hurt them here, and this hurts the Bengals with T. Higgins too, is this is an incredible draft for receivers. You don't not only have the guys at the top and Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers, and Rome Odunze, you've also got really great depth into the second and third rounds. So can you find somebody who's willing to give up a premium pick for Brandon Ayuk in a year when you can get receivers into the second and third round? If that team's out there, I think the Niners will certainly listen.
Listen, Dallas didn't make any moves in free agency, and I never thought I'd see this, but Jerry now with Dak is saying, just play through the contract. I think it's the right move. I don't think you can be a Super Bowl team with a top three paid quarterback when he's probably the 12th, 8th, 10th, 9th best in the league. I think that it's hard to do. Were you surprised by it? Are your sources, people around the league, surprised that Dak could hit the market? For the record, I think New England's a fascinating place if they don't draft a quarterback. Do you think there's ever a possibility that Dak would hit the market?
Yeah, I don't think it's impossible. It sort of mirrors the Kirk Cousins thing. You know, Dak approached the first contract negotiation the same way Kirk Cousins approached his contract negotiation with Washington. Now, there were different results, of course. Kirk wound up going to Minnesota after being tagged a couple times. Dak wound up re-signing in Dallas, but he's created leverage. That's the way these things work. If you're willing to wait it out as a player, and Dak's been willing historically to wait it out as a player, then you put yourself in a position where you are going to have leverage. It had cost the Cowboys over $80 million to tag him next year. All right, so they're not going to tag him in 2025. So he knows right now he's got a freeway to the market. And that's what the Cowboys are negotiating against. And Jerry knows that. And on top of that, I think there's like a larger league thing happening here too, where the price of quarterbacks has gotten to the point with what Justin Herbert's making, with what Jalen Hurts is making, with what Joe Burrow is making at $55 million a year, where it's just, can you play leapfrog with a guy who might not be at that very elite level? And I think that Dak Prescott's not going to be the only one that's going to be in this sort of situation where the team has to get creative or look at different ways to solve it. Tua Tagovailoa in Miami.
Yeah.
How do the Dolphins reward him? Jordan Love in Green Bay. Brock Purdy in San Francisco. Can those teams afford to pay those guys between $55 and $60 million a year? I think at least a couple of them would probably say no. And so I think it's part of a league-wide trend. And, of course, you know, part of it's the history that's you know, there with Dak and the Cowboys and how they've negotiated contracts over the course of his career.
I'm always very reluctant to embrace a quarterback who flies up the draft board, Zach Wilson. I was like, no. Slow down. Mm-hmm. Don't go from second round to second best quarterback. I like J.J. McCarthy. But a quarterback that I've liked all year is Michael Penix. And so Michael Penix isn't flying up the board. He's viewed as like the 12th pick on. I thought his pro day when he ran, I'm like, boy, that was something. Yeah. That was like receiver movement. What do you make the Penix?
That was huge for him.
I thought so. What are you hearing about Penix, who it's always been appropriate. He's always been mid-first. I do think Seattle, keep your eye on the Seahawks here. His coordinator's the same as college. What do you hear about Penix in that pro day?
Yeah, so I think there are a couple things with Penix. Number one, obviously he's been at two different schools. I don't think the NFL has ever been quite as high as the general public thinks on him. So he's always been kind of swimming upstream as far as the way scouts perceive him. And, you know, there was this interesting thing, and I'll give you this anecdote from before the championship game. Before Washington played Michigan, I called around to McCarthy and Penix just to kind of get a gauge on how teams saw them so I could write a little something there. I had one executive say that Penix is a three-point shooter, right? Said that he's great down the field, maybe one of the best quarterbacks over the last 10 years to come in the league throwing the ball down the field. But he struggles with the intermediate stuff. He struggles underneath. And then I turn on the championship game, and what happens? What did Jesse Minter, the defensive coordinator at Michigan, who's an NFL guy, who had NFL talent on his defense, what did he do? He forced Michael Penix to throw underneath, and Michael Penix struggled. So to me, you know, as much as the 40 helps, right, and his ability to run the 40 in 4-5 really probably allays at least some of the medical questions. And as beautiful a deep ball as he throws and as strong an arm as he has, he's going to have to convince some of these teams that he can still improve throwing the ball underneath. That's where he really struggled as a collegiate. Michigan was able to force him to throw the ball underneath where he struggled in the championship game. And that's where I think the disconnect is with the way the general public sees him and the way NFL teams see him. Still may go in the first round. But, you know, I do think the private workouts are going to be a big part of the puzzle for Michael Penix, more so than the other quarterbacks. In fact, he had one the other day with the Vikings. So, you know, I think that those set when the NFL teams get him in those private settings, it's gonna do a lot to swing his draft stock one way or the other.
Finally, somebody mentioned this. My buddy John Middlecoff had talked to somebody in the league who said Aaron Rodgers and Brady never like young receivers. Mm-hmm. Why would you go get another young receiver? That's not the end. You got Garrett Wilson. He didn't like him in Green Bay, right? Like he was like, he'd ghost Christian Watson after he dropped a ball. And I'm like, wow, that's really smart. Is that my take is, if you start looking at what they've done, tackles, Hassan Reddick, they're getting older players around Aaron. Gronk, AB, that Leonard Fournette, that's what Brady liked. So when I hear about the Jets getting an offensive, a wide receiver early, I'm like, no, what they need is a second round pick. They need more good players.
Yeah.
What are you hearing about their first pick and Joe Douglas and the plans for Aaron and what to surround him with?
Well, what they've done is they've created a situation where they don't have to force a need at 10, which is what their intention was. So, you know, they go out and they get Mike Williams to play opposite Garrett Wilson, so they don't have to force a need at receiver. They get Morgan Moses and Tyron Smith, so they don't have to force a need at tackle. They get Hassan Reddick, so they don't have to force a replacement for Bryce Young, their 10th overall. They basically open it up where they can take the best overall player. I would say that the tackle thing is still an issue for them going forward. You know, both those guys, Moses and Smith, are a little older. Tyron Smith really struggles staying on the field, and both those guys are going into contract years. So I still think, you know, the likelihood is whether it's at 10 or as part of a trade down, they take a tackle because that's what's best for the future of the franchise. But if you look at what Joe Douglas has done, I mean, really, my read is they've opened themselves up to just being able to take the best available player because they have gotten veterans that are dependable to fill in the holes that they had on the roster.
Yeah. Yeah. Brock Bowers, the tight end. Keep your eye on him. I mean, he went from Napa High School to Georgia and dominated as a freshman. So wouldn't be a shock if he went to New York and did something big with Aaron Rodgers. As always, Albert, it is great seeing you. Thanks, bud.
All right. Thanks, Colin.
You know, my rule is always trade down unless you have an a quarterback need immediately, which if you're well run, you shouldn't have a need immediately. I think Minnesota historically has been well run. They bring in Darnold, we'll sit a guy. Kansas City, Alex Smith, we'll sit Mahomes. You know, generally well run teams aren't desperate. I wouldn't be shocked if the Jets got a quarterback in like the fourth, fifth, sixth round. They got to get a tight end. That's why if you get Brock Bowers, Georgia, that's about as good a tight end as you're going to get. People don't like to draft tight ends in the top 10 because you end up, it's a position group you don't historically pay much. Safeties, nobody wants to pay them. Guards, nobody wants to pay them except the Rams. And tight ends, generally, nobody wants to pay them. Linebackers, increasingly, nobody wants to pay. So you have draft them high, you're paying them more than the unit, in recent years gets paid. But I think Brock Bowers to Aaron Rodgers, that's a young target that would work if he's willing to block at the NFL level. So you cover for Bleacher Report, you cover the NFL. It's rare. I actually could see the Chargers going down.
Arizona, I think, at 4, there's a real chance they trade down. I don't think they're married to that pick. Monty Austin Ford, the GM, knows, Colin, that they have a lot of holes. Obviously, they don't need a quarterback. That's the team in the top 5, Arizona, that to me I think is most likely to move down.
Yeah, and again, Harrison's a remarkable player, but there's no proof that having a dominant number one receiver win Super Bowls. The Chiefs had Tyreek Hill. He left. They did just fine. Having a deep receiving core like the Rams, Detroit increasingly has that. Green Bay has tons of young players. So you could trade down if you're Arizona, get more picks.
Absolutely.
And they have a roster issue, not a wide receiver issue.
Yeah, I think Minnesota, too, is another team we've talked about.
They want to go up.
Come up, absolutely. You know, who knows with New England?
Raiders.
Yeah, the Raiders are another team that needs a quarterback. They obviously give Minshew 2 years. They have Aiden O'Connell. That's another spot potentially for Penix. But I would go back to the Arizona game, and I asked Jed Fish, who's now at Washington, was at Arizona, and I asked him about the Arizona game when they played the Huskies, and they basically dared Michael Penix to take the middle and short side of the field instead of the 25, 30-yard deep shots. They put a safety 20, 25 yards back, and they said to Penix, we're going to let you live in the middle of the field. It's kind of like what the Bills did to Mahomes 3 years ago. And they said to them, to Kansas City, listen, Patrick, you're great. We're not going to let Tyreek Hill beat us. This was 3 years ago. That's what the Arizona team did to Washington. Penix took every opportunity he could in the middle of the field. I'm all in on Penix. You know that. Yeah, I love Michael Penix.
Yeah.
And I think he takes what the defenses give him. And I've told you as well that John Beck, his quarterback coach, has told me he's one of the most accurate throwers he's ever seen. Then I asked Kalen DeBoer about his leadership. He said he's one of the best leaders he's ever seen. And then this is the most important to me. I asked Jalen Polk and Romo Dunze, what does Michael Penix do better than anyone? And they said his accuracy is unparalleled. His ability to go back shoulder and his intelligence at the line of scrimmage is simply sensational. So when I hear that from Polk and Odunze, I'm sold.
Yeah, it's much easier for me to ask my quarterback to improve on the short stuff than it is to ask him, hey, can you be a great deep ball thrower? That's the knock on Bo Nix. He's great underneath, not as good deep. So there's just something very attractive to tell Josh Allen, hey, do it underneath a little more. I would rather have that as a problem than, hey, can you throw a great deep ball? Because some of that's innate. Some guys throw it, and some guys just never throw it.
And he has that easy power, Penix, where it just explodes out of his hand.
Yeah, good stuff, Jordan.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
It's the Kia Summer Sticker Sales Event, so give your friends something to look at, like a B&B with an ocean view, an endless field of wildflowers, or a sunset that needs no filter. Make this a summer to share and save with a capable Kia SUV or powerful sedan. See your local Kia dealer or visit Kia.com to learn more. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-334-KIA for details. Always drive safely. Sale applies to purchase of specially tagged 2024 vehicles only. Quantities are limited. Must take delivery by 7/8/24.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over three whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
All right, save big on your water bills with a Navien tankless water heater. 15% off, not clunky like traditional water tanks. Go to tanklessmadesimple.com and look up a Navien. Again, a 15-year limited warranty. Jordan with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
All right, Colin, we just talked about him. Washington's Michael Penix Jr. surprised a lot of people with a sub 4.640 dude was flying at his pro day. Sources tell me that he has upcoming visits with Denver, Atlanta, the Raiders, and Commanders. Already met privately for a workout with Minnesota. Also had a dinner with the Giants. Colin, do you think Penix to Denver, Sean Payton at 12 overall, is a realistic possibility?
Well, Sean goes into his second year. Harbaugh now has an elite coach.
Yep.
Mahomes has an elite coach. You can't Jared Stidham it to the playoffs. So in the better quarterback conference, two of the top five quarterbacks, and I think the Raiders are going to go for Gardner Minshew has shown he's more than capable of engineering a playoff-ish looking team. I think they're going to go get a quarterback. Now, I do think Bo Nix has Drew Brees quality, wildly accurate. Drew moved very well in his first year, though not a pocket guy, not a mover. To me, I could see Denver trading down because they need players four or five spots and getting Bo Nix. Many suggest he's a late first. Like I think if Bo Nix was available to the Rams at 19, at that point now, like Sean McVay would be like, all go.
Yeah.
But I do think in that 12 to 15, 16 range, Bo Nix is available. My take is Denver will take him. Most of the teams that need quarterbacks are all in the top 12 to 13 picks. So if the Raiders, you know, if the Raiders move up, then Denver knows, okay, Bo Nix is still available. So you wouldn't want to leave Bo Nix for the Raiders, but if the Raiders did move up to 10-9, get a quarterback, it's like, well, the teams behind us mostly don't need him. So that's where I think if the quarterbacks have been scooped up and you're Denver and you're like, we could certainly use another third, fifth round pick, Denver feels like the space for me.
I saw you talking last week as well. 61 career starts for Nix at
Auburn. He's ready to play.
So he's ready to go.
Ready to go.
Right.
Yeah, I mean.
The recent documentary, The Dynasty, gave us an in-depth look, Colin, at the Brady-Belichick era. And a lot of people felt it painted Coach Belichick in a pretty negative light. Well, now Andrew Marchand of The Athletic is reporting that Bill Belichick is working on his own book. There's still no timetable for when it will be released, but Simon & Schuster, the favorite to land the deal. Colin, smart move for Bill Belichick to get his own side of the story out there.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, I do think that there's been so many books written about him. Ian O'Connor's done one. Jeff Benedict. Both are great. Seth Wickersham. So in none of the books, Bill doesn't come across as warm and cuddly. I think Bill made the classic mistake that a lot of coaches do, is that he owned that power. In the last 7-8 years, he kind of told scouts, I'll take the draft over, and they just missed. They were a bad drafting team his last 7 to 8 years. Not even mediocre. They were bad. So I think you can write whatever you want, but there are realities here. Brady won a Super Bowl without you. You are struggling to be competitive without Tom, and the drafting has left New England talentless. You can write it any way you want. Bill's the best defensive mind ever, and with the right quarterback, he can win. But, you know, I've read so many books on Bill. A lot of stuff comes in. So much of what Bill does is redeemable. But for a lot of legendary coaches, the landing is often a crash landing. And this feels like it doesn't look good, regardless of what you write.
I wonder if anything, if he is going to coach again, if he can just focus on the coaching and not the drafting, not the personnel side. It's hard enough to do one.
That's where I would love him. Like, I think if Bill, because Bill in New England did give the offense to Brady and Josh McDaniel. He, like, gave it up. If Bill would be willing to come in the room and just say, listen, I organize well, I do defense well, yeah. I'm pretty good aggregating players in the league. Bill's actually really good at NFL personnel.
Right.
But I don't think Bill sits around on a Saturday and watches college football.
You don't think he's watching Wyoming-San Diego State?
I don't. Right, okay. And I think that was his undoing. I've always thought Bill's pretty good in league, finding guys. But I think it's very hard. When you've had power, relinquishing power is really hard.
Well said. Reigning MVP, Colin, Joel Embiid has missed the last 2 months with a knee injury. Shams Charania of The Athletic is reporting that Embiid could potentially return for tomorrow night's game against OKC. Philly has struggled immensely in Embiid's absence, sliding all the way to eighth in the East. Colin, any chance Philly can beat Boston in a seven-game series with Embiid back in the lineup?
No, but I do think if he came back and was Embiid and he got some, you know, 12 games with this group, I do think they could beat Milwaukee. I think the big question in the NBA East is, what is Milwaukee? We know Boston's good, and we don't really trust Cleveland, the Knicks, Miami right now to do anything. But I don't trust Milwaukee. Like, I don't trust Milwaukee. I've never trusted Philly, but I think if Philly and Milwaukee played, I think it'd be fascinating. Because I do think, and everybody, all these athletes now, whenever I hear they're out for the year, does it really mean they're out for the year? Everybody comes back a little quicker and a little healthier because of the advances in medicine. This was the one, it's funny, I hadn't trusted Philly for years. This was the one team when they got rid of Harden, I kind of liked. I like Maxey, I like Tobias Harris. Sure. And I was like, oh, they have length and depth. This was the one team I was like, oh, I like this Philadelphia. Got Simmons out, got Harden out. We'll see.
It would be ironic if Philly were to beat Milwaukee and Doc Rivers potentially in a playoff series. That could be ironic.
Yeah, I don't think Doc would love that.
I don't think Doc would like that either.
No. Jordan with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
So there is this one thing in sports, and I think I've been searching for this answer for years. I can't figure it out. I got my theories, and I got things I believe in, and things, and I'll throw it out there, and I don't really care if I'm necessarily right. I'd rather be right, but I want to get it right, and I don't have an answer. And maybe you can help me. We'll talk about that coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And Stan, we do over three whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
All right, welcome back. So I'm looking at the Western Conference standings. And Warriors won, Lakers won yesterday. And so the Lakers right now are the ninth best team in the West. And the Warriors are the 10th best team in the West. The Lakers are 9 games above 500. The Warriors are 6 games above 500. These are good basketball teams. And I would ask you, does the Eastern Conference have a third really good team? And it feels like to me, and I've never been able to figure this out, the West has been better than the East on average since Michael Jordan left back in like 98, 99. So since he left, we've had a Lakers dynasty, a Spurs dynasty, a Warriors dynasty, and now we're going to have potentially a Denver dynasty. You had the Miami Heat, but that felt very LeBron dominated. This has been the enduring mystery to me in the NBA. Is it better owners, better general managers out West? Is it quality of life? It's a winter league. We have more moderate temperatures. Is it the fact that the West has 4 California teams or 3 Texas teams, no state tax? That's attractive. I mean, the Houston Rockets could win 40 games. They may not make it in as the hottest team in the last month. Since Michael left, over twice as many champions have come from the West. This year, the worst team in the West has the next great player, Wemby, San Antonio. Whereas the worst teams in the East, Pistons, Wizards, Hornets, hopeless. Just don't, a mile from being interesting. The best young team in the NBA, Oklahoma City. They're 22 and a half years old. They're about the same age as the Carolina Tar Heels were. The best offensive heavy teams are Dallas and Phoenix. The next potential dynasty is Denver. The best older pairing could be LeBron and AD, or maybe it's the old Clippers. And they're doing this as the Knicks are having their most significant renaissance in 25 years. So, and keep your eye, there's a story today, Trae Young, maybe a Laker. I am convinced if Milwaukee gets eliminated early, Giannis is coming West too. So I don't even know what it is, but the depth of talent, I for years and years, I was always guessing. I think I talked to Mark Cuban about this one time. I think it was Mark Cuban. I said, is it just the fact that it's a winter league, October, November, December, January, February, early March, and California's got 4 teams, and you got Phoenix, and we just don't have, maybe Denver does, but you don't have, by and large, harsh winters out West. And if you're arriving at 2 in the morning off a flight, it's much easier when it's 58 than when it's 8. It could be ownership is stronger, but it is remarkable to me that even the bad teams out West, like Houston won't make the playoffs, exciting, Jalen Green, young player, San Antonio has Wemby. The teams that may not make the playoffs are fascinating. The best young teams, the best offensive teams, the next reigning dynasty. It's not close. It's like West, 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 West. I did think Dame would be a difference maker for Milwaukee, but it felt like a little bit of a you better appease Giannis or he's out of here move, and it hasn't been as good as we thought. But I don't have an answer for it. I don't, and I don't know what to make of it, but it's Boston to me and just a bunch of teams. That's it. So LeBron James, 9-for-10 against Brooklyn, shooting threes. He's had a remarkable year shooting threes, and he's had a really good year. And I think LeBron about 3 years ago wanted to pass the baton to AD, but AD came in sort of out of shape, dad bod. LeBron, I was told privately, had told people he was very discouraged by it. So LeBron was asked after the game about aging and how many years left.
I'm on the other side, obviously at a hill, so I'm not going to play another 21 years, that's for damn sure, but not very long. I don't know when that door was closed as far as when I retire, but I don't have much time left.
So Peyton Manning's body told him, we're done here. I think LeBron's going to age like a Jeter, he already is, or a Brady, where totally committed And they've been pretty fortunate, Brady and LeBron and Jeter, on lack of injuries. So I remember having Tony Gonzalez, the former great tight end, on this show one time. And I said, what percentage of players are really committed? I mean, all in nutrition, discipline, going to bed, hydrating, game plan, film room. And Tony Gonzalez said 3%. For the record, I went on vacation a couple weeks ago, Mexico. I saw Tony Gonzalez. I met him in the gym. I'm old. I have to work out. Tony's an Adonis, doesn't have to. He was still on that treadmill, knocking out 45 minutes. So I don't think as many as you think. I'm always surprised by how few athletes professionally, I mean, are all in. Discipline, go to bed, get sleep, nutrition, training, spending seven figures if you can on your body. So LeBron now is better at three-point shooting. He's worse at defense. He takes more days off. He's more about great in spurts. He picks his spots. His assists are up. And I think that's a thing. LeBron's assists are up. He's got guys to pass to now. Austin Reeves, D'Lo. But I think his career is looking very much to me like Brady and Jeter's ended very well. Roger Federer, kind of a dignified, graceful, soft landing. And I will say this, on most nights, I feel like AD is more consistently, much better defensively, rim protector, and I think what's interesting is AD's game. He's now decided, yeah, I tried that perimeter stuff. I didn't really like it. I'll let Austin and D'Lo do their thing. LeBron now shooting more three. AD has moved back inside where it's kind of his natural spot on this earth for AD is be within 8 to 10 feet of the basket, and he's dominant, having a great year. But it is, I like clean endings. You know, like I would Favre going to the Jets, and you're like, oh, this is awful. And then he goes to Minnesota, and it's good. And Michael Jordan, I've said this before, the only 30 for 30 that hasn't been made that I'd be fascinated with is MJ and the Wizards. Like, Michael may not give that footage up, and maybe the NBA doesn't want it out. That one's fascinating because that was way clunkier than everybody thought. His team didn't like him. The team was bad. Michael was, like, semi-committed. He really wanted to get into ownership. You know, and Michael was still, I went and watched him twice with the Wizards, once in Portland. He was great, you know. LeBron's in very rarefied air, and I think a lot of it just starts, it's just like if you see somebody that's 65 years old and they're in great shape, oh, they're smart, they're committed, they ate right, nutrition, rest, sleep, and I think that's what LeBron's doing. And I think this is actually, if you take Boston and Denver out, I think there's a strong argument that the Lakers, more than any other team in this league this year, are built to win a championship. They're not built for the treadmill. They're not built for the regular season. They're not. LeBron takes, you know, not going to do back-to-backs. LeBron takes time off. You know, Jared Vanderbilt has been out. They've had some injuries. But it's a big deal. If you go back to the play or the in-season tournament, which was more like March Madness, they won it. In these individual big games, at Boston, at Milwaukee, in these big spots, OKC, when the lights are on and everybody's watching, Lakers are really good. They're really good. That's why I've said for years, I think the NBA, if I ran that league, I would shorten the first round to 3-game series, the next two rounds to 5, and then the finals are 7. The reason I would do that, to extend the Currys, to extend the LeBrons, to let that great start, because those guys get worn out in a 7-game series. You put those guys in those one big game of a playoff, and I mean, Kobe had 60 in his last game. Favre with Minnesota. They can have great players, just can't do it with the duration they did it, but they can still be great with urgency. So when you go to a 7-game series, that'll be the undoing probably of LeBron or a Steph. They just... You can't ask him to carry the offense for 6 days, 6 games in, you know, 15 days. They're just, that's not what they're going to do anymore. So, Jordan, you at one point did cover the NBA. You're a basketball guy first. You did cover the NBA, and you transitioned to the NFL. Yeah. Why did you do that?
I did because, Colin, I thought that the NFL, with respect to the NBA, was the only true 365 sport. And I also felt like the NFL had more opportunities, more stories, more players, more agents, just... more. And so with all that in mind, I didn't think that the NBA had enough real estate, enough white space to break in. And so It was a little bit of a transition going from basketball to football, but I did welcome it as I learned the NFL and the business of it.
Well, you have four times the roster size.
Yeah.
And it
the draft is massive.
I mean, outside of, like, I'm trying to think, July or maybe, yeah, June and July, there's about a six-week period where the NFL, like, go vacation, get ready for camp, but it's 11 months.
It is, and they've done such a good job marketing it. Combine, Senior Bowl, draft, free agency, it just keeps going.
When your business reaches a certain scale, challenges begin to surface. You deserve a tailored solution, and that's NetSuite. Download their popular KPI checklist absolutely free. Go to netsuite.com/herd, H-E-R-D, netsuite.com/herd. On a Monday, flying by, hour three from L.A. next.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.